This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Recently, I was talking to a brother who lost 31 relatives in Gaza. And as we were talking about the reaction, the responses, the emotional, the spiritual, psychological, the physical, what are some of the things that have happened since then? Amongst the many things that he said, was that he felt now more uncomfortable with this world. Less comfortable with being so attached to this life. Less comfortable with chasing relentlessly after material things, as though there's no end in mind. What is the ultimate transcendent purpose behind this wealth, behind your job, behind your financial pursuits? What's beyond it and what's behind it? There's an interesting moment in history, in our seerah, in the seerah, the biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Roman Byzantine Empire, it was said they were coming to attack the Muslims in Medina. This is in the 10th year after the migration, after the hijrah. So the Roman Byzantine Empire, which is one of the main superpowers of the region, is not a force that anyone wanted to mess with. But when this threat started to spread around as a rumor, and it reached the Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hesitate to prepare to meet the Roman Byzantine Empire. And so they announced that there would be an expedition to the area of Tabuk. And over 30,000 people, the 10th year again after the hijrah, over 30,000 people gathered and gathered and gathered, and eventually they departed. But naturally, with massive numbers, you're going to find in the mix in Medina, you're going to find that there were some disbelievers, you're going to find there are hypocrites who are not actually Muslim but trying to harm the community from within. You're going to find weak, extremely weak Muslims as well. It's all part of the mix. They are not all the same people. We are not all the same. And so with this, you found that some people disobeyed, refused to go out. They came up with excuses. They would start to come up with excuses about why they could not go, even though they were commanded to leave, to depart. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah At-Tawbah, there were a number of reasons the Muslims had to go and defend themselves. And these reasons are laid out one after the other, one after the other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people who came up with excuses. When you talk about people with excuses, you're talking about not those with something valid, because yes, in Islam they are excused. You're talking about people who refuse to go out, who refuse this command, because their attachment to this life was greater than their attachment to Allah's command. And it was also greater than their fear of death. It was greater than their fear of departing from this world. And so choosing here the small pleasure of a dunya over the eternal pleasure in the akhirah is a type of foolishness. It's a type of ignorance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this reminder in the Quran. There's a rhetorical question with it as well. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers. So this is directed at those who believe, and some of them rejected the command. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ma lakum idha qila lakum unfiru fi sabilillahi thaqaltum ila al-ard. أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ O believers, after laying out everything of the command, of the necessity for you to defend yourselves and your people, and to defend justice, what is the matter with you? That when you are told to go out in firu, here it's a type of expedition, to leave, to depart, to gather. Fi sabilillah, to leave for the sake of Allah. For this expedition, you find yourselves, ithaqaltum ila al-ard. And there's in one qira'ah, tathaqaltum. When you talk about ithaqaltum ila al-ard, there's an emphasis on clinging onto something. Holding on to something with an attachment that is intense. What is the matter with you when Allah tells you, go out with the Prophet and defend yourselves, that some of you, again, this is especially for those who came up with invalid excuses, that you cling to the earth. This is the literal translation. Do you prefer this life over the next? Do you prefer this life over the next? the enjoyment of this world compared to the next is insignificant. And in this ayah, you find something interesting with this word, إِثَّا قَلْتُمْ. The scholars say, think about the reality of a group of people who are being told to go out and fight the Roman Byzantine Empire in the summer. So what are some of the reasons people came up with excuses? What are some of their thoughts, their weaknesses that came out? Number one, it's summer. It's a long day. You're going to be going out for a long time. Number two, it's extremely hot. And they don't have AC. They don't have any of that. And even today, people come up with excuses. They're going out in the heat. There's also a risk for your life. It's very uncomfortable. Number three, you are going to be going a far distance compared to some of the other expeditions. Number four, the dates in Medina were just ready to be picked. So there was an agricultural or financial or economical incentive to stay behind. And number five, they are going out not to face a small random group of people. They're going out to fight the Roman Byzantine Empire, one of the two superpowers of the region. And they had reigned in terms of their power for several centuries. This was the first time the Muslims were supposed to go and fight the Roman Byzantine Empire. So some people, for them, that was a reason to be afraid. So they came up with excuses. ثَقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ You're clinging to the earth when Allah told you to leave. Al-Ard here, Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he says it could refer to multiple things. Amongst them, think about the natural reaction of some people who come up with excuses when they don't want to be uncomfortable. He says this is desires, shahawat. That you find yourselves clinging to your desires to stay at home, to relax, to rest, to be in a state of convenience and comfort. Why would I go out? And sometimes we don't realize, we keep overlooking that the greatest vulnerability some of us have, may Allah protect us, is that door of desires. That if you don't control your desires are controlling you. Desires inherently are not bad, as we know in Islam. Some desires may be bad, but generally desires are not all bad. We are told how to direct our desires. The desire for food is not a bad thing. But you are told that some things are healthy, some things are pure, طيب, some things are prohibited. You are told to eat with a certain portion. Do not overeat. Look at the medical issues, the health problems that we have in this country and around the world. So desires inherently are not all bad. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ Allah talks about desires in the Quran. But you cannot let your desires be your religion. Cannot let your desires be your lifestyle. That whatever my desires want, I pursue, I chase. Rather, I control my desires based on a worldview, a framework that is coming from above the heavens, that is coming from the one who created us for a test, for a limited time in this world, and told us how to channel our desires in a healthy manner. Do not let your desires be the reason you're not getting closer to Allah. Be the reason that you're becoming distant from Him. May Allah protect us and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Number two, he says, Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, al-ard can mean hopes for this world. How long do you think you'll live? Sometimes we're looking at the situation in other countries like in Gaza, and some people will assume subconsciously that they have a better chance of living longer than some people in Gaza because of the number of atrocities, because of how ridiculous it is that we're 100 plus days in and over 10,000 children have been killed and still it's ongoing and still it's ongoing and still some people are in denial. Some people will justify. When you talk about hopes for this world, the one who really believes in Allah and believes in the afterlife and believes in the reality of al-maut does not ever think for a moment that the angel of death is going to someone else. They're passing by me and going to other people because they're living in a place of starvation or war. No, the angel of death, assume, is passing other people on the way to you. For there is a possibility you will leave this world before someone in a conflict-stricken zone, in an occupation, anywhere around the world. Number three, he says, Al-Ard can refer to your home, your actual residence. Do you think you're guaranteed to stay there? Do you think you're guaranteed to live in the house that you live in long term? Don't we all know that it doesn't matter what country you live in, there is the possibility of natural disasters, there's the possibility of disease, there's the possibility of political strife. There are many possibilities. Do not assume that your place on earth is permanent and do not become attached to it. And right after this, Allah says, أَرَضِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ In other words, are you really choosing this life? You're satisfied with this life rather than the next life, rather than the eternal life? And we have to ask ourselves this question on a daily basis in a rhetorical manner that will cause us to become very practical and productive. Am I choosing with my habits from the time you wake up and even the way you wake up and the moment you wake up? Am I choosing this life over the next life? Am I choosing when it comes to temptations? Think about it. If you're tempted, are you choosing this life over the next? Are you choosing when you disobey Allah to please people? Are you choosing this life or the next? And when it comes even to your job, are you choosing the halal over the haram? Are you being a person of ihsan, a person of good character in your workplace, as students in colleges and high schools and other places as well? Are you choosing when people are cheating, when it seems to be the easier route to avoid the haram, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you choose this life, meaning it is disconnected from Allah, it is a matter of prohibitions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. The world of a dunya is nothing compared to the next life. And the word qaleel here, it means little, literally. But when we talk about qaleel, the example the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, and we share this many times, if you were to go to any coast in this country, anywhere in the world, and just look at the ocean and dip your finger into the ocean, see how much water you collect, one or two drops. The life of this world compared to the next, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is like the one who dips his finger into the ocean. Let him then see how much water he retains. How much water do you come back with? Nothing. Are you choosing two drops of water over the rest of the ocean of the akhirah? Of course, if someone were to see this as a business transaction, you're talking about less than a penny for an infinite amount of money. Is it equal? Is there any way to compare this? You're talking about something limited and something infinite, something temporary and something eternal. Only the foolish person knows the reality of this life and the next and still chooses this life. Only someone who is heedless. May Allah protect us, guide us, and surround us with reminders that we accept, with reminders that we follow. One of the scholars, he said, in this part of the ayah, Allah is reprimanding the Muslims who are coming up with excuses. So he says, عَاتَبَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ إِثَارِ الرَّاحَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَلَىٰ الرَّاحَةِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah is reprimanding them for choosing comfort of this life rather than the comfort of Jannah, of the afterlife. Because if you were to obey and go out with the Muslims and to protect yourselves and defend yourselves, you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So regardless of what happens, you live or you die. You live or you die, you're successful, you have raha, comfort in an eternal life. And so when we think of these examples, you realize the one who created this world, the one who created this world and the next, is also telling you that this world is insignificant. Is telling you that pleasure here is a distraction. It is a deception. It is qaleel, it is very little, beyond little in terms of the reality. And so be uncomfortable in the pursuit of what is good. Be willing to embrace discomfort physically and sometimes even mentally in the pursuit of something that is great. Because being uncomfortable in life can have the potential to change your life and the lives of so many people around you. Being uncomfortable can be applied to many things. We're not talking about being uncomfortable with a medical issue, being uncomfortable with abuse. We're talking about being uncomfortable in the pursuit of success. That you're willing to go through the hard work. You're willing to physically be uncomfortable. So think about people who wake up earlier than they need to every single day. Why are you waking up early? Some people will wake up early, they are sacrificing for their families. They're taking care of their children. Some people wake up early because they go to school. They're after something long-term of benefit to the world, to the ummah. Some people wake up early because of a source of income, because of their jobs. Some people wake up early because of salah, because of prayer. And so when you talk about these sacrifices, you have to be able to see what you're after. And you have to keep reminding yourself why you're waking up early, why you're physically uncomfortable, why are you fasting? Why are you chasing after something great? Why are you working out and taking care of your health? Why are you refraining from harmful foods? You're after something greater than the discomfort itself. It's short-term discomfort and long-term pleasure. And likewise, when we talk about the afterlife, short-term discomfort and long-term pleasure. When we talk about working hard and striving, we realize psychologically that with every technological advancement, and every advancement in your material state, when people have more of this world and it becomes the default standard for them, so somebody gets to a certain place in life materialistically and they become more comfortable, the next time a hardship comes their way, they're less likely to be able to handle it. What does this mean? Some people give up as soon as the pain kicks in. Some people give up as soon as the thought of being uncomfortable kicks in. So I remember over a decade ago, one of the quotes that stuck with me from Muhammad Ali rahimahullah, a famous boxer, somebody asked him, how many sit-ups can you do? How many sit-ups can you do? He said, I don't count the sit-ups. He said, I start counting only when it starts hurting, because those are the sit-ups that actually count. That's what makes you a champion. Meaning what? If you're working out and you're trying to become stronger and endure more, and we know physiologically you're breaking down muscle, so we always go with the mantra of no pain, no gain, you will not find yourself advancing. You're not going to be able suddenly to lift more if you did not go through that process of discomfort, that process of pain. So likewise, you start giving up. Every time you're uncomfortable, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere. A lot of people, they see opportunities to help others, and they start to think of everything uncomfortable, and then they give up. A lot of people, they start to think about all the potential things they can do in life, the skills they can have or develop, the talents, and so on and so forth. But then they think of the hard work, and they are discouraged. They find themselves with very low standards and ambition in life. Whereas the believer should know that working hard, striving hard, and yes, smart as well, being efficient, is something that will always pay off when it's in the pursuit of Allah's pleasure. You will never regret it in the next life. And that applies to our jobs, that applies to our education, that applies to the tarbiyah, the development of our children, that applies to everything we go through in life. And oftentimes, neuroscientists, according to many of the publications, they find that when people experience new and uncomfortable things, certain parts of the brain start to light up. And if they persevere, they end up forming new connections and capabilities, able to handle more. And so sometimes you think today's discomfort that you're willing to endure is tomorrow's strength, is tomorrow's success, is tomorrow's resilience. You may need it for yourself or for other people in this world. You may need it for yourself or for your children. You may need it for yourself or something you may experience in the future as well. So one of the greatest advices, according to a number of studies, don't think in negative terms that this is uncomfortable for me, so I give up. Rather think, instead of this challenge is uncomfortable or painful, think to yourself, this challenge is something that will help me. This challenge is something that I will grow through. This challenge will bring me closer to Allah. This challenge will bring me closer to the afterlife. So once again, when we go through these discomforts, sometimes by choice and other times it's out of our control. And that's how Qadr works. When it comes your way, if you're uncomfortable in a material sense or a physical sense, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you from being too attached to a dunya. And so when you watch your brothers and your sisters struggling around you in this city, in this country, and all around the world, in Sudan, in Gaza, in Palestine, in East Turkestan, in India, in Kashmir, and everywhere else, when you find people going through pain, make sure you are taking something from it as well. Make sure you are growing and developing and being more resilient as well. Because discomfort can be liberating. Discomfort can protect you if you are to see the potential behind it. When you look at the situation in Gaza, we know, and we're talking about this day and night, some people are giving up very quickly. Some people lasted 100 days and said, nothing is changing, I feel like I've lost hope. You have to be relentless in the pursuit of justice. You have to persevere when you're after something great. You commit to the process and not to the results. And Allah will judge you based on the process, the efforts that you put in, not on the results. And so if you put in efforts for 100 years and you don't get to the results, Allah will reward you for your efforts because you were sincere and you tried. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Persevere. And the reality, when we talk about inspiration from the people of Gaza, we have over 100 examples we've given in previous khutbahs and lectures. But just think of this one example. Here and there, here you are advocating for the truth. And in the United States of America, amongst all countries in the world, you will find yourself in situations where you have to be willing to be uncomfortable so you can speak the truth. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable in different situations, but to speak the truth. And in fact, that's one of the greatest forms of jihad, to speak the truth in the face of a tyrant, to give a word of truth in a situation, in a context in which other people are ignoring the truth, other people are justifying genocide. We are talking about something that is not complicated. Killing 10,000 children should never be a starting point that is ignored. So when we talk about inspiration, you have the example of the mountain from Gaza with 100+ other journalists who were killed, many of them intentionally killed by the Israeli government. You have a man whose wife was killed and he continued to report, whose child is killed, he continues to report, his other son is killed, his daughter is killed, his relatives, his grandchildren. And he's continuously going back and reporting so the world can see what's happening. Willing to take on that pain, that discomfort. Oftentimes we want to go back, we want to find ourselves reserved, we want to isolate ourselves in moments of discomfort, despite knowing that there's a responsibility upon our shoulders, an avenue of helping other people as well. Wa'il al-Dahduh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and his family and all of our brothers and sisters in Palestine and around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring down his justice, his swift justice and his relief to our brothers and sisters in every land and every place. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He is the merciful, the oft forgiving.